Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed well over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families. And helping families and birth mothers grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you so much for listening in today. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. If you'd like to call in during the show today with questions or comments, we would welcome that, and you can do so by dialing 347-850-1100. Again, 347-850-1100 for any questions you may have. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm very excited today to be speaking with Jerry Hodak. Jerry, are you with us?
I'm with you. I'm
glad
to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on Adoption Focus. And I think that I want to just give our listeners a little bit of background, if you don't mind, about you. You began your broadcast career in 1961 as a newscaster in Detroit, and your very wonderful career kind of blossomed from there into some concert music station staff announcing, I believe. You then did some weather casting, some science and medical reporting, and the list goes on and on. You were inducted into both the Michigan Association of Broadcasting Hall of Fame and the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame in 2010. And then you retired from WXYZ-TV in 2010 after 45 years on Detroit television. So that is a very impressive professional history that you have. And you reside in Lansing with your wife, Peggy, of 51 years, or maybe 52 now. Am I wrong on that number?
It's already 53 years now.
Look at how the time goes by.
Yep.
That's wonderful. And you have, I believe, 3 daughters and 5 grandsons. Do I have that right?
Correct. Yep. I have all grandsons after 3 daughters. two of those grandsons, of course, are adopted, which is going to be part of our discussion today, I would presume.
Absolutely. I hope so. So, we want to hear about the story, your story and your experience with adoption. And I know that as an adoptee yourself, finding your birth family and the process of doing that is a big part of your personal story that we're intrigued to hear more about. Can you start there for us if you feel that's a good place to start?
Sure. I knew I was adopted from a very young age. There was never any secret about it. And as a matter of fact, I knew what my birth name was. It was Frank Joseph Gregorich. And my parents didn't make any bones about it and told me about the adoption process. And so from the very, very beginning, there were no secrets about it. And as I went through life, I really didn't I really didn't think of searching for birth parents. I was quite happy, and at least during my generation, I don't think there was quite the drive to find out about birth parents as there may be today. Don't ask me why that is, but I just accepted it and went on with my life. But what happened was in the 1990s, my wife and I both applied for passports so we could travel overseas, and hers came back after 6 weeks or so, and mine was still held up for whatever reason, but didn't concern me. And then all of a sudden, the station that I was working for wanted me to go to Rome on an assignment, and so I said, "You do have a passport?" And I said, "Well, I've applied for one. I'm just waiting to hear what's holding it up." So they knew somebody in the passport office and called, and it was all a question of, they were uncertain about my birth and the name and all of this and wanted to clear it up. So I explained that I was adopted, what my birth name was. They said, "Well, can you provide any documentation?" I called the state of Michigan, where the adoption papers were initially handled, and they said, we'll provide all the information to the passport office. Bottom line is, I got my passport and life went on. But the woman who did the work at the state agency then called me afterward and said, you know, when we did your file, we found that your mother had died back in the 1950s. If you're so interested, we could now, because she's passed away, we can send you that file if you'd like. And I said, sure. And I'm going to try and shorten the story so it doesn't go on. But in any event, they provided the information, and my mother died at a very young age, and we didn't know of what. We just knew it was cancer. And having three daughters, of course, it made it somewhat of a concern for me. So I then began the search to see if I could find any family members. And ultimately, I did. I wrote a letter to an address that in the Upper Peninsula that was the family home, and somebody still lived there and contacted me and provided the information. And from then on, I got to know more of my birth family, and we've since met, and we're, you know, we see each other frequently.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the similarities between what you learned when meeting your adoptive family and your birth history and some of the intricacies that were involved in that process.
Well, as I said, I wrote this letter to, I looked in a phone book and looked in the Upper Peninsula in the small town where I knew my mother was from, and the family name was still on that address. So I wrote a letter, and they wrote back and said, yes, this is the right address, and yes, you know, a Mary Gregorich did live here, but I got cousins to respond to this, and they knew nothing about my birth. And so I had two elderly aunts, two sisters of my mother that were now in their 90s, and they said they have corroborated the story and would like to meet you because they knew about this but never said anything to anyone. It was kept a secret. So I did meet with the aunts, and they were here in the Metro Detroit area in Madison Heights, and one of them had signed the adoption papers for me to be adopted, and she threw her arms around me and when we met and just said, thank goodness, tell me about your life. She says, I'm just so happy to know that this is what happened to Mary's baby, which, of course, was a very emotional moment for all of us. And I got to spend time with these cousins, and they said, you know, this was the right timing for this to happen because, you know, when we're younger, we're tied up with our own families, and but now that we're older, we have time to let this relationship develop, and so we did, and we've become quite close.
So did you, it sounds like you made a trip up to the Upper Peninsula, is that right?
Oh, I made several. I went back and saw the family home. One of my cousins still owns it and takes care of it. We were sitting in the family living room, my trip up there with my family, and or my wife and I, and all of a sudden neighbors started coming around who, of course, knew my mother, and the next thing I know, somebody brought out some musical instruments and started singing songs, and we had a wonderful evening, and it's something I'll always remember. And then, of course, they took me to where my mother is buried now in the Upper Peninsula, and told me stories about her that, of course, I didn't know up until this time, what she was like. And and so our family history has now blossomed. I now have, you know, a number. I have my Hodak family, and I also have my Gregorich family, which is not a lot of people can say that.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that was, you know, an emotional time. Can you help our listeners to understand a little bit more on a personal level how you were impacted by the experience of meeting your birth family and then visiting the Upper Peninsula and meeting all of these people, how this impacted you?
Well, you know, it's funny. My first child, my first daughter, when I had her, you know, I looked at my wife and I said, you realize this is the first blood relative that I've had any contact with. But as I said, I was in my 50s by the time this whole thing came about with the passport, and that I learned who my birth family was and all about them. And the first time you meet somebody, and the first one that I met of the Gregorich family was a Dominican nun, Sister Pat, who taught high school not very far from where I grew up
on the side
of Detroit. So she was the very first one. She put her arms around me. She says, "Well," she says, "you know, so many of the cousins are boys." She says, "I was hoping this would be a girl, but I'm not disappointed." And I looked at her and I said, "You realize that you are the very first of any family that I've met or know now?" And so that was very emotional as well. And later on, one of the women who heard all of this was a neighbor, and she called me one evening and said, "You know, I was your mother's best friend, and I just want to tell you a little bit about her." And she did, and we went to school together, and she said, "I just want you to know that when she gave you up, it was not something she wanted to do, that it was something the family was very had very strong parents and were strictly religious, and you know, wanted because she was unmarried this to just go away. So she was sent down to Detroit from the Upper Peninsula to have the baby, and I was born here in Detroit, and then she went back to the Upper Peninsula, and so they didn't want the baby to come back to the UP. Another story is that I was named for the oldest son in the family, Frank Joseph, and I met his wife. He had passed away, but she was still living in the Upper Peninsula, and when I met her, Aunt Mary, now, she threw her arms around me and said, "You know, we tried to adopt you because we didn't have any children of our own, but the family, the parents, would not allow that to happen." So she said, "You know, under other circumstances, you could have very well have been my child, but the family just would not allow it." So she was very emotional when I met her as well. And, of course, that was the first time I had heard that story. So many things that, you know, that have happened that I've found out about that I would have never known had I not applied for a passport.
Right. That one simple thing that so many of us do. What were the implications for you when you heard from your birth mother's best friend that this adoption decision wasn't necessarily her own or one that she agreed with? What meaning did that have in your life?
Well, I think to anyone it would have meant that, yes, I was wanted. I wasn't. It wasn't something that happened that... you know, where they needed me to go away, and that my mother didn't want to have anything to do with me. On the contrary, she would have much preferred that, you know, that I go and live with her. But the circumstances are such that it probably was the right thing to do. You know, as we look back on it, of course, I wish I had known her. I have pictures of her now, and I have stories that the family tells, but... you know, I wish I had known her, but she passed away at a very young age, and so I never got that opportunity. But it's good to know what her life was like, and that, you know, she had a happy childhood, and this woman was able to tell me that they were fast friends, and, you know, that she knew her very well, and she was a wonderful person, and had circumstances been different that, you know, I would have been born in the Upper Peninsula and would have remained there.
Right.
Which, of course, would have made a big difference in my life, too. Who knows what course it would have taken had that been the occurrence. But things happen for a reason, and they did, and so we accept them, and life goes on.
Right. Yeah, your outlook about it is pretty amazing. And the story I find very intriguing listening to you talk about going to the Upper Peninsula and meeting your family for the first time. This is quite a jump fast forward, but so you then talked about having your first child, and your wife and yourself went on to have two additional children, three in total. And then fast forwarding beyond that, I know you've become a grandfather. We talked about earlier the fact that you have five grandsons. Right. So can you kind of tie in how that adoption situation has impacted you? Because there's adoption that has continued into your family, correct?
Correct. Obviously, my youngest daughter was, and her husband were unable to conceive, so she looked at adoption. It's always a word that has been common in our family. It's never been any secret. So they thought about adoption and went through adoption associates and eventually adopted a baby boy from Guatemala. It was a difficult adoption in that the Guatemalan government started putting up hurdles that they hadn't in the past. And so they were fortunate enough to, before the government shut it down, to get what is now known as Charlie out of Guatemala. And, of course, he's just been a wonderful kid, very, very smart we just accept him with all the love we can possibly give him. Well, time passes, and Charlie says he knew that he had siblings back in Guatemala, and he understands adoption, and he understands what happened and why he's here. But he would say, I'd like to have a brother baby or a sister baby. So my daughter Jane and her husband started thinking, well, what about going through the adoption process again, which they did, and by this time Guatemala was not allowing any adoptions any longer or was getting very difficult. So they went for domestic adoption, and 2 years ago adopted a baby, a newborn, here in Michigan, and he became Charlie's brother. So I just remember I went to the hospital to when they were bringing him home, and Jane was right there from the time of his birth until, they took him home, and we were leaving the hospital. We were walking out with the baby, and Charlie was with us, and he pointed to all the nurses and looked at him and then pointed at the baby and just said, "This is my brother." And that had to catch in your throat and in your heart, you know. That's my brother. And it's been that way ever since. The two are very close. Charlie's happy to have a sibling, and they get along very, very well, and couldn't be happier.
And how old are they now?
Charlie is 10, and his younger brother is 2.5.
Okay.
And younger brother is Maddie. And,
otherwise known as Charlie's brother, right?
Charlie's brother, right.
That's cute.
Yep.
So,
he wanted to make it known that he had a brother. And so it's the two of them are just, I don't know. Somebody asked me right afterward, what did you think when they brought this baby home? And I said, I just looked at him and realized that he now has a family. He will understand the how momentous this is later in his life. He doesn't right now, but at some point he will realize how important that is to him, that there are people that are here to love him. We don't know anything about his circumstances, but there are people here that love him and will make sure that he has every opportunity in life, and that he is surrounded by people that love him and will care for him and make life that much richer for him.
I'm sure. I'm certain that's the case in your family. Can you explain how becoming a grandfather through adoption may have changed your perspective on being adopted yourself, or what impact that had watching your daughter and her husband go through the adoption process?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it affects me any differently than having a child any natural way, or them having their own child. But I think it completes the circle, and this is something that I've thought about. You know, I started out as an adoptee, and now here we are with grandchildren who are adoptees. Never in my, you know, wildest thoughts would have thought that was going to be the case, but it did, and it just seems so natural that I, you know, I'm not sure that it affected me any differently than having any other grandchild any other way, but other than to say that, yes, it does kind of make a kind of close the circle of that here we started out, my being adopted, and now this tradition continues in our family, which just seems so normal to us anyway.
Right. Sure it is.
There's nothing that's abnormal about this process to us in any sense of the word. So we don't look at it any differently than a natural birth. It's just another thing is I looked at my grandmother worked in a fondling home for a number of years and would bring home young children you know around the holidays so that they would spend time in a home, and I often thought that could be me, you know, and for the, you know, for whatever reason, that didn't happen to me, and I'm very fortunate. And so sometimes I think, and I look at my two grandsons and realize they could have been in other circumstances that, you know, were going to be difficult for their lives. And fortunately for them, they're with us now. And I think that's the only way that I can say that it truly affects me is just to look at them and know that their circumstances now are much improved over what they might have been.
Absolutely. And I can feel and sense the gratitude that you have for adoption and for your story, for the story of your grandsons. You know, those that may be listening right now may be considering adoption for their family, maybe in a variety of ways, whether they're considering growing their family through adoption, or maybe there's a young woman in an unplanned pregnancy who's considering adoption as a plan for her child. Do you have words of wisdom, thoughts that you would want to share to those listeners who are, you know, still maybe new to adoption or unsure of how they feel about the things that you're saying?
Well, I think it helps to talk with somebody who has gone through it and has experienced it, and they can give you their assessment of how they went through it, what their emotions were. I don't know anybody, I'm not aware of anyone, personally anyway, who's gone through the adoption process that hasn't found it really enriching in every sense of the word. You know, the desire to have a family is so strong that you look at a child and you just want to nurture, I think. And so for those who are thinking of adopting, I think, you know, talk with a family who's gone through the process. And I don't know, and I know many families that have adopted children. They're either small now or grown and adults that haven't been enriched by the entire experience. Sure, there are difficulties, but from time to time. Nothing's perfect. Even your own child will give you some difficulties. When I say your own child, I mean your natural birth child, because we all consider these kids our own without any hesitation.
Well said.
And as for a mother that is thinking of giving up her child, you know, I realize it's a very difficult decision. What can you provide for that child? And you have to honestly look at that and what the opportunities may be by giving that child up for adoption. I can't presume to tell a mother what to do. That's something she's going to have to decide for herself. I realize it's very difficult, and I would never presume to give her advice other than know that there are families out there that will provide unconditional love if that's what she decides to do, is to give up her child for adoption.
Absolutely. And that indeed is the message of adoption, as you've, you know, talked about today, is that this is how families are grown, your family. And it's, as you said, it's normal. There's nothing unusual about a family being grown through adoption. And your story is powerful for me to hear, for others. I love hearing you in this meeting your birth family and then kind of full circle, as you said, with your grandchildren. And to tie into that, next week on the show, we're going to be speaking with the director of our international programs, Sally Mao, with Adoption Associates. We'll share some information of what's currently happening in international adoption and where the need lies for adoption with Adoption Associates internationally. Jerry, thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome. It's good to be with you.
It was wonderful. For listeners looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may call us at 800-677-2367 or visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. And again, we hope that you tune in next week to hear about international adoption today. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.